Many devotees asking the same question, and I just want to clarify, and maybe it helps them, like, they spend time in Holy Dham, and then they went back to their countries, and the energy they are influenced in such a way that they start thinking and practicing and how they can practice here in Holy Dham, and what they can do to maintain their consciousness in a proper way and to continue the proper sadhana, or like it's some useful things to remind it again to them.
Devotees, they spend time in Vrindavan.
Yeah, for months.
And then they have a very good experience and they become very steady and encouraged in their devotion. Then
deep in japa, lots of japa.
Because that happens to everyone that has a drop of sincerity because of the... In any place, there's two things to consider. The place and the people in the place. Whatever it is. Like if you go... You know, so here, the place is the Holy Dham. It's Vrindavan, Radhakund, or whatever. Vrindavan, and the people are all holy people, saintly ladies and gentlemen. So when you come here, the atmosphere is sanctified. It's purified. I was just speaking with one Indian devotee. He travels around India. He says, as soon as I leave India, and he's initiated, he's a Brahmin, everything, Indian person, Manipuri. So as soon as I leave Radhakund, I go somewhere else. It's so hard to chant. It's so much harder. He's Indian, a good birth, and Kshatriya family. He says, but when you come to Radhakund or Vrindavan, it's so easy to chant, and it's just the atmosphere. So here, the atmosphere is amazing for devotion, especially. And the devotees, the people who live here are very amazing. And you go there, and it's called, outside of India, it's called Bhoga Bhumi. Bhoga Bhumi and Dharma Bhumi. Bhumi means land, Bhoga means enjoyment, and Dharma means religion. So Vrindavan is, and India in general, specifically Vrindavan or Pushkar, holy place, they're just saturated with mercy, and they're saturated with bhakti. The bhakti of the place, because the place is commemorating some lila of a bhakta. Pushkar is a lila of a bhakta, you know, Brahma and his wife, who are actually, they're in the spiritual world. There's a spirit, Brahma and Vaikuntha and his wife, Savitri or whatever, Saraswati Savitri. Usually they say Savitri and Saraswati is his daughter, but sometimes they say Savitri, Saraswati is a wife. I've read different things. Generally, Savitri, at least the main wife. So Pushkar, and then so Vrindavan is the Leela Bhumi of Radha and Krishna. It's full of the Leelas. And those Leelas, they're going on. In the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, they're using present tense verbs. They're saying sanihito, sanihito. They said, oh Krishna, your Leelas in Vrindavan, they're going on, that you're always enjoying your Leelas in Vrindavan. And it's present tense. Sanihito means that you are living in Vrindavan. This is verses in Bhagavatam. So it's present tense verb, sanihito. So that means Krishna is here. God, Bhagavan is here. And Radharani is here, and Sakhi is everyone. So when we have that, they're living here on a vibration. We don't see the microwaves. We have to have some instrument to see what they do. They carry messages, they carry music. We can't, but they're there. So we can't see microwaves, we can't see radio waves, we can't see TV waves, but through instruments, so through the instrument of a purified consciousness, it starts vibrating at such a high level, then we can see Krishna in Vrindavan. Because he's on the platform of Vishuddha Sattva, that ultimate purity of vibration. And this Dhamma is Vishuddha Sattva. So when we come here, and we become in tune with that vibration by the purity of our consciousness and purity of our heart, then the uppercut Vrindavan, the invisible Vrindavan, becomes visible. So this is a very powerful place. When you go to Moscow or wherever, Croatia and these places of Europe, then there's nothing of that at all. There's no people there, spiritual, and there's no spiritual vibration. So naturally, devotees or newcomers that aren't steady in nishtha, they will find it very difficult to live in the outside of the Dham. Now, how to stay in that high consciousness And that's by vibration. You have to create the vibration by your own sadhana, by your own chanting and reading. This is called surrounding oneself with Shabda Brahman. Shabda Brahman, it elevates the cells of the body, it elevates the mind, it elevates the heart, elevates the consciousness, expands the awareness, expands the understanding. This is the power of Shabda, transcendental sound. So we chant, we read, and then they have to approach that sound. Like they say, you take one step towards Krishna, you take 10 steps towards. Here it's easy to step towards Krishna, so then it's easy to experience reciprocation. In the West, it's harder to step forward, but the reciprocation comes back at the same speed. It comes back at the same speed because it's transcendental. But we must make that endeavor. So I think that everyone has to increase their hearing. This is the most powerful medium. Because all of our Vishuddha Sattva vibration that we collect in Vrindavan, it gets diluted and dissipated by the interference of the vibration of Maya when we leave the holy dham. So there's a certain subtlety and peacefulness that descends into the consciousness when you live in the holy dham for a month, what to speak of, year on end. And then when you go there, then it's like it meets that static of the TV and advertising. It's just like massive bombardment of the subtleties of our mind and intelligence with non-spiritual vibration. This whole atmosphere, somewhere there's a kirtan. I'm lying here at 1 o'clock in the morning up on the roof or on the veranda. And the distance, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There's some guy, you know, the wind is blowing from the north. There's somebody, you know, 4 kilometers that way having a kirtan with an amplifier. I just hear it. Or somewhere over there, I hear somebody playing a flute. Some guy used to come in Kartik at night around 1 o'clock. It's like Ras Lila, you know. And I'm sitting here, I'm hearing a flute. And I said, wow, it's so beautiful. I just felt like I was leaving, my body was there, but I was floating, I was going to float over there into those vibes, you know, into the flute sound. I said, am I going to see Krishna there? What is, you know, because it's Vrindavan. You're just, in Vrindavan, it creates a certain excitement, you know. The Krishna's just there. He's just there. As years go on, I feel very strongly I will see Krishna and Radha. So now that strength feeling has gone higher. Now my kind of desiring is also I want to see. Because I had to overcome a lot of things I've collected in my journey to their darshan. journey to their darshan. Because it's personal. Home, what is home? that's that. Because ultimately we want to live in every moment in the darshan of Radha and Krishna. Radharani never leaves the eyes of the Manjari. She never leaves the mind of the Manjari. She never leaves the heart of the Manjari. She never leaves the thoughts of the Manjari. So that means constant darshan. So how do you get to that plane unless you cultivate that desire and that thinking? But the background that I came from, we were encouraged not to think like that and not to desire. Whereas if you pick up books, like some Babaji, who doesn't remember what name, but he dropped off a bunch of Hindi and English books. He thought maybe I could use them or something, I don't know. Some Gita Press books, one really nice one, a bunch of sayings about how to improve your life, and, you know, determine. We have to be determined to it. We set a goal, and those kind of good lines, good one-liners. So the book has a lot of those from Gita Press, so he took that. So another book has said, The Way of Self-Realization. Well, that's, you know, we have Science of Self-Realization as a book in some places. So this idea, everyone knows about this. But when you read a book about self-realization, in the course of that discussion, because I've read many, many in my life, they're going to say, they translate self-realization to mean seeing God. And then a whole chapter, I was he and I were ate lunch together, and then we were lying on the, he was on the floor, I was on the bed. I was reading one book, he was reading another book, you know, after lunch. So I was just looking at it, I was reading, so I said, look at this, you know. And he said, he was describing how we should be so determined to see God, and if we're not determined and want to see him and no one else, then why should he bother? It was like that kind of conversational type preaching, and very nice, very like hitting home, you know. So he's a person, and if you really, really want to see him more than you want to see anyone else or anything else in this world, then you should be hopeful. Very soon he'll show himself. It was very nice. I thought, hey, wait a minute, this is just what I've been thinking about. I mean, that's how it works also. What you need or what you're thinking about is what you'll see or what you'll hear. Because the world is just a projection of your own consciousness. What more? Everything is fits in consciousness. That's the whole meaning of the two circles, infinity. There's one circle inside another circle. It's called Akash. Akash means the sky. The sky inside the sky. The sky is immeasurable, unlimited. That's on the bottom of Krishna's left foot. He has some symbols. The first one on the bottom, underneath his second and third toe, is Akash. It's a big circle inside a little circle. It means everything is inside Krishna's consciousness, and everything is outside of Krishna's consciousness. Krishna's consciousness. And everything, and we are outside of everything, and we are inside of everything. So everything is included, those circles, everything is included in our consciousness is here, in the center, and everything is a larger circle, which is part of our larger consciousness.
So with good desire, we have to desire to see Krishna.
No, that's another thing. Back to the question you're asking. Now you're jumping course here. You're leaving your poor souls stranded in Moscow. They lost a taste for Vrindavan Bhajan. Now they're watching Moscow TV. And it's looking rather nice, you know, full screen color. It looks so nice, so dirty, and Vrindavan looks so nice on TV, you know. Nice beaches. And, oh, wow. So, I guess, I don't know. So the question is, I'm talking about Shabda Brahman and the kind of tangential things here and there. But so that everywhere here, Shabda Brahman is just like, you know, because now everyone can relate to these analogies like Wi-Fi. You go on, you open your internet channel. But if we have Wi-Fi, all five of us phones, we can also go on internet with your connection, right? So when you come here, as soon as you come here, you go into the Wi-Fi spiritual network. As soon as you put your receiver down here, then you're connected. Oh, hey, look! Somebody named Radha is broadcasting. It's coming up on my phone. There's some cell tower, some server that Radha. Well, look, I have Krishna here. Oh, look, Lalita. Oh, wow, this is really good. Hello? So when you come to the Dham, you tune into the Wi-Fi, and you're connected, and that Wi-Fi is what I'm explaining is the Shabda Brahman. Everywhere there's a flute, that's Shabda Brahman. Everywhere is a kirtan, that's Shabda Brahman. Everywhere is Bhagavad Sapta, that's Shabda Brahman. Everyone Manasija, meditation. The whole place and the water, everyone's touching the water and chanting mantras into the water. So the water itself is lila surcharged with all kinds of lilas. It's surcharged with all kinds of bhaktas bhakti. It's surcharged with all kinds of mantras and pujas. The brahmanas are chanting millions of mantras every day into the Radhakund, and it's all there. So when you take a bath, it's like zzz, you know, it's just like some, you know, you're getting totally saturated with Shabda Brahman. So when they go outside, they have to saturate themselves and insulate themselves and saturate themselves and envelop themselves in Shabda Brahman. Because Shabda Brahman does all these things. It envelops us, it insulates us, and it protects us. So how to do it? Everywhere, they should have an earplug. They should have an ear and an earplug. That should be part of their physiognomy. Wherever you go, your ear goes with you, yeah? Wherever you go, your ear is there. So the earplug should be there. And Shabda Brahman. Okay, you're going to work. You're making deliveries or whatever. You're a house painter or you're a truck driver. You know, devotees do all kinds of, you know, these kind of fast, you know, fast money jobs. Fast money, no dependence jobs. You can work for a month and quit. I know many God brothers, they have truck driver's license. They go back and forth the country like Batman, you know, these day and night driving, work for a month, get $40,000 or something. Big money. Tractor trailer. You know, worth $10 million while you're driving, you know, heavy tractor trailer, heavy some stuff they're carrying, you know. Then they kind of Vrindavan, live for a couple of years, and they go back, pick up a, you know, part-time job. You know, painting houses, contract. It's the same everywhere, no? Unless the guy's some talent, you know, he's a doctor or whatever. So wherever, when they're going here and there and anywhere, they have to hear, that just hear. I don't like lectures. Okay, listen to kirtan. Shabda Brahman. I want to listen to flute. Okay, listen to flute playing by some Radha Raman Brahman, Venu Gopal. He plays flute. And he's a pure devotee. He's Radha Raman's pujari. He's a very wonderful person. And when he plays flute, that's Shabda Brahman. Because he's only playing for Radha Raman. He only plays in the temple for Radha Raman in the evening times. I think he still does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of thin. Mm-hmm. Not so. You listen to the flute, and you know, that's not material flute playing. Because his heart is it's for Radha Raman. His heart to that heart. His heart sending out Shabda Raman. Shabda Raman is being received by Radha Raman. It's coming back. And then you're just in the middle. You're the Wi-Fi. You come in and plug in. It's his signal, his heart signal, Venu Gopal's heart signal is going out of his heart into his flute. What do you think was in Krishna's flute? That's just some sound? That's his heart. He puts Radharani in one raga and he plays Radharani raga. That's his heart that's full of Radha. And then Radha hears that heart, her beloved calling her through the flute sound, and she flies, runs off to the rasa dance, and Lalita. I've heard people brought me. I was really transported by hearing when a devotee Hari Prasad Charesia, I have his flute playing. It's fantastic, and he's a devotee also. I think I'm mistaken, but somebody, maybe it was him in his later age, because he used to play for money, and he used to play flute for movie scores and stuff like that. And I heard someone tell me in a later part of this, you know, after he kind of made, you know, millions and billions, then he said, I only play Krishna music now. Were you telling me that? He used to play Bollywood, you know, then at a certain point he said, I'm going to play ragas and about Krishna.
Now he only plays ragas.
Yeah. But Venu Gopal, you know, for me, for being a Gaudiya and a Vrindavan person, I mean, Hari Prasad Trayasi is a UP Brahmin. He's a Brahmin. He's from UP. He lives in Bombay, I guess. And he's one of the all-time greats, no doubt, because he's a devotee. But someone born in the family of Radha Raman, you know, Sakshat Krishna, and he gets to touch him and bathe him, and he gives Harikata Hindi, and he plays the flute. That's something different, in my subjective view. So, and lectures. They like lecture. They like kirtan. Just always hear. People are too lazy to chant japa. People are too lazy to read. You know, you're a devotee. You're nishi. You're too lazy to read. You're too lazy to chant japa. So you're affected by Kali Yuga. Everyone's affected. So what to do? Shabda. And it couldn't be easier. There's no easier time in history to hear Shabda than now. Your phone is with you everywhere. You just have lectures. Kirtan. How many GB? The better the phone, the more GB memory you're putting, memory card, you know, whatever. So many ways to fix it up. That they will be successful if they insulate themselves and saturate themselves and envelop themselves with Shabda Brahman.